What if heaven is right here and we don't know it? Do you understand what I mean? It's just another dimension that's right there. Man, listen, there's so much we don't know about heaven, but what we do know, we need to cling to, loved one, because it is eternal. We have an eternal home, it says, in heaven.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome to our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill's study in the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians continues. Pastor is entitled today's message, The Christian's Death and Judgment. Let's listen in now.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians this morning. We're going to be in chapter 5. We're going to cover the first 11 verses. And as we've been trafficking and journeying through this great second epistle to the church at Corinth by Paul, again, I've said it in every sermon. This is one of my favorite epistles. And the reason it is because Paul is so intimate. He is so open. He is so transparent. You remember that 1 Corinthians is more corrective and narrative to the church who's in trouble, who's divided, who's in sexual sin, who's drunk at the Lord's Supper, who's abusing the gift of the Spirit, who's questioning the resurrection. Man, I mean, that was a church that was messed up. Amen? So 1 Corinthians is really all corrective. But when we get to 2 Corinthians, Paul's entire demeanor, I mean, it's like you hear the words has his voice to them. And he's crying out to a church that's literally breaking his heart. And, you know, they're questioning his apostolic authority, even though he founded the church there at Corinth. They're challenging his ministry, his character, and all the rest of those things, accusing him of things that he has never done because false teachers, they've entered into the church. And as we learned last time we were together, you know, Paul didn't give up. He suffered greatly, but he didn't quit. He didn't lose heart, remember? Yes, he never quit the ministry. He kept moving on in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we learned that Paul, each day of his life, every morning when he woke up, he literally didn't know if that day would be his last day. He faced death every day. Paul was, to me, is one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of this earth. Tremendous love I have for him. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. A man who said, for me to live is Christ. I want him to tell me all about that. I want to say that about me. Don't you want to say that about yourself? For me to live is not success or money or power or fame. For me to live is I want to live one life. I want to display one life on this planet. And that is the love that I have. I want to manifest Jesus Christ to everyone I meet. What a great man he was because Jesus Christ lived in his heart. Amen? Now, we know that Paul, even though as we look at these verses, we discover his attitude about death. What's your attitude about death? Because you know that you're going to die one day unless we're all caught up together. Amen? That's a reality. And, you know, we can deny that, but denying it doesn't change it. Okay? So this morning, as we look at the attitude of Paul about death, he didn't dread it. He didn't fear it. And that's why I entitled this message this morning, The Christian's Death and Judgment. The Christian's Death and Judgment. Very important that we see that. You know, we like Paul from last time. We learned that not only Paul had a glorious ministry, we have a glorious ministry too. Amen? And we are God's treasure containers. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, if you will. But more than that, we know that when we pass this place, when God is finished with us here, we know that we have a home. We have a place in heaven. Amen? So that's why Paul says he opens up and he tells us what lies ahead of our journey. He tells us that, you know, at the end of our journey, oh, listen, heaven is our home. So with all that, let's look this morning about the Christian's death and judgment beginning in chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, meaning by death, we have a building from God. We have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What a glorious thing. Man, listen, Paul didn't say, I hope it's true. He says, I know it's true. It was a settled fact in his heart. I hope it's a settled fact in your heart as well. Paul says, you know what? These present bodies of ours, he says, they're just an earthly tent, if you will, an earthly house. And you know, the thing about it is that a tent's not much of a home, is it? Would you like to live in a tent every day? Huh? Well, you do. This is a tent. One day it's going to fold up and it's going to be over with, and we're going to go home and we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. A lot of people don't like to build. Why would you bring forth a sermon about death? Dear Lord, that's something that we all need to know how to face. Amen? And we can't face it without God. We can't face it without the truth of God. And so when we look at this, you know, our present bodies, he says, no, listen, this is just a tent. This is just an earthly body. And we know that a tent is temporary. It's not permanent. We know that a tent, for example, tells us that this is not our home. This is not our true home. We're just abiding here on a planet that we know is passing away. Amen? But he who does the will of God abides forever. So when that tent, when this tent, this old junky thing that we're in right now, no matter how you dress it up, no matter how you diet, no matter how much makeup you put on, it's going to dissolve. Do you understand? It's like I told the first service, I said, have you ever noticed when you get older, you have to, men, I was talking about how you shave. You see, you know, when you're young, your skin, it's tight. You have the kind of like, you know, those chiseled cheeks and tight skin. You just get, you do it in two. But when you get older, things start sagging. You don't want to cut your throat. So you have to stretch that skin tight, man. And do you understand? Oh, you do. Yeah. Why? Because you're living in a tent. It's going to pass away. And that's what Paul is telling us. Listen, when Paul says we have a house from God, did you know that is in the present tense? Paul is so certain, so sure. He says, no, listen. He says, we have that right this minute. So one day we're going to get out of the temporary, this stuff right here, and we're going to get into the permanent. And you know what? It's so wonderful to know. It says that we have a home, a house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, plural. I wonder why Paul used heaven and he put plural there. You ever think about that? I mean, you know, the Jews, for example, some of the rabbis taught that there were seven levels of heaven, 7 degrees. Now, I don't find that in God's word at all. And they said the seventh level, of course, would be where the throne room of God is. No matter if there's 7 levels or only one level. Heaven is a real place, amen? Do you ever wonder where heaven is? I mean, is it up? Heaven is up. But if you lived in China, you'd be, you know, you see what I'm... What if heaven is right here and we don't know it? In a way, do you understand what I mean? It's just that another dimension that's right there and we can't even see it. Man, listen, there's so much we don't know about heaven, but what we do know, we need to cling to, loved one, because it is eternal. We have an eternal home, it says, in heaven. Are you confident in your heart about that? Paul was. Or you may say, well, Bill, I'm kind of troubled about death, you know? That I don't, you know, it kind of makes me afraid. What did Jesus tell us in John 14:1? Jesus said, don't be troubled. He said, let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God? He said, believe also in me. Man, I tell you, I think, oh Lord, you were so good. Jesus said, oh, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you. And I go, Jesus, talking to his disciples before his death. He's talking, he said, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. I don't know what that does for you, but I tell you what, it excites me because Jesus can't lie. Do you understand? Jesus said, I go. Well, when Jesus spoke that to the disciples, you know as well as I know that he had not gone to the cross. So when he says, I go, he means I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross for you. I'm going to pay for the world's sins. I'm the Lamb of God. He says, I go by the way of the cross, by the way of the tomb, by the way of the resurrection, and by my ascension. And then when I am seated at the right hand of God, I have purged your sins forever and ever and ever. And when I get there and your sins are purged, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place just for you. God is prepared. Loved one, listen to me now. If you are a believer,
every believer, Jesus has prepared a home, a place just for you. Heaven is a place prepared, and it is heaven. Listen, that's our true homeland, isn't it?
You know, the second service should be a lot happier than the first.
We're running a race. We're on our way home. One day, we're going to arrive. Why? Because we're citizens of heaven. You know, listen, we're citizens of the greatest place in the universe. That's where God is. That's where Jesus is. That's where the angels and the cherubims, that's where all the people that love the Lord, they're there right now. Listen, heaven is a real place. I say it all the time. It's not some kind of bedtime story. You know what I mean? It's not the Winnie the Pooh stuff. Do you understand? Heaven, man, is a real place, and it is my future, and it is your future. Listen, as we grow up in life, you know, we grew up and like, you know, you grew up, well, I was born in this home here or born in this, and then we moved and went to this home, and then I went to college and I went to, and lived in the dorm or I lived in an apartment. Then I went here and then I got a job and I lived. You understand, we've lived in so many different places, haven't we? Move after move after move. Don't you hate moving? But listen, when we move this time, we're never going to move again. We're going to finally be home. See, we truly only have about one more move left. And when we arrive, we're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Heaven. Do you ever wonder why heaven? Why did God create heaven? I mean, what's wrong with the earth? Well, you know, the fact of the matter is there's nothing on earth that's going to satisfy you. We've all tried, haven't we? Come on. Is there anything that really has satisfied you on this planet? I mean, you can have a brand new home, have everything that you want in it, all the perfect colors. You can select your carpet, your countertops, your drapes, your whatever you do. You know what I'm saying? And then about 6 months later, well, I don't know if I like that color or not. And is that true or not? Man, humor me this morning. I love you. I mean, I'm not your enemy. No, don't be a mean sheep. You know, there's no goats allowed in here. Just sheep. No, listen, loved one. No, the fact of the matter is, and I look at that and I say, man, there's not anything here. I got that car, but you know, you get it, and all of a sudden you pull into Kroger or something, and some guy hits it on the side, brand new car. Then your whole world is destroyed. No, you could be so rich. How many people have you read about that had everything money could buy, and yet they weren't happy? They were miserable in their hearts. No wonder the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:10, he who loves silver, God says, hey, you're not going to be satisfied with silver if you love it. He says, nor he who loves abundance with increase. He said, that's just emptiness or vanity. No, it doesn't satisfy. See, the reason that God created heaven, because nothing on this earth will ever satisfy you. Oh, maybe for a moment. But it won't. It won't satisfy man at all. You know why? Because the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, I think it's 3:11, it says that God has done something to every person. He has placed eternity in their hearts. That longing for eternal things, things that truly last, things that really have meaning in life. And that's why nothing here is sufficient to meet our needs. And one day, whether you like it or not, you know what's going to happen? Our tent is going to fail. But loved one, the moment that it does, the moment it gives away, man, we are going to step right out of time and we're going to step right into everlasting eternity forever and ever and ever and ever. I can't imagine living in a place where no one ever cries. I can't imagine living in a place where there's not one pain. No pain is allowed. No funerals, no death, no sickness, no cancer, no hate, no darkness, no evil. Amen? Think about that. That's our home, loved one. See, death is not the end. So many people with death, when it's over, it's over. No, that's the beginning of forever. No matter if you're a believer or an unbeliever, that's the beginning of forever. We have a home in heaven. No wonder Jesus told us in John 14 again, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And listen to what Jesus says now. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, ye may be also. I will come again. What does Jesus mean when he says that? I will come again. You know, Jesus doesn't lie. God can't lie. Amen. He is coming again. And you know, when his coming, that is the absolute best kept secret in all of the universe. Jesus said, you know what? No man knoweth the day or the hour. The day, the hour. not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. I tell you what, he said, you better be ready. An hour that you don't expect. Listen, only God knows when that is going to happen. And Paul believed that, and I'll tell you why. Because Paul used the word if our earthly tent is destroyed, if it is. Paul believed in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus, meaning the catching away of the church. That could happen at any moment, couldn't it? We don't know the day. Again, we don't know the hour, but I do know this. Paul telling us over in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. He says, we will not all die. Think about that. But we will all be changed in an instant, suddenly. Man, the sound of the trump. Think about that. Man, the dead in Christ, they're going to rise, and we who are still alive, loved one, we're going to be changed instantly. We're going to get our brand new body. What an incredible, glorious moment that's going to be. No one will ever attend your funeral. Isn't that something? Are you ready for that? That's what Paul was talking about. Look at verse 2. He says, and not only that, for in this, talking about death, going home and heaven and all the rest of it, in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, that new body. He says, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent, we groan, that intense longing, loved one. We groan being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. In other words, it's not natural for someone, I just want to die. He says, but further clothed, that mortality, meaning that mortal part, our man, the thing that perishes. I love this, may be swallowed up how? By life. What a glorious scripture that is. I mean, you know, where can you see it? Just death being gobbled up by life. You know what? All of us, we will witness the death of death when it's cast into the lake of fire. Remember? There in Revelation chapter 20, it's all over with. Whatever death is going to be completely gone forever and ever. He says, and now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. And look what God has given us and how he did it. Who has also given us the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee. When you came to Christ, you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You were sealed with the Spirit of God. Amen. That was the down payment or the pledge or the first installment of the full payment that is to follow in the end of our life. Like it's that foretaste of eternity. Like Paul writes in Romans 8:23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits, meaning the foretaste of heaven, if you will, of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Can you imagine that moment? Man, that brand new body, no more battles, no more struggles, no more aches, no more pains. Worry can't even reside there. Sin could never even, it would never work. Do you understand? An ill thought, a judgmental thought. No, it's all over with. When we see him, the Bible says we shall be like him. And I say, oh Lord, what a day. Man, what a day, because we are his purchased possession. And we're sealed, the Bible says in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, until the very day of redemption. The very day. As long as we're in this tent and Jesus is our Lord, meaning we're believers, you know what's happening. Our outer man is perishing. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. How? Chapter 3, verse 18. Remember, we just studied it out, that we're being transformed into the same image of our Lord from glory to glory to glory. And it tells us how? By the Holy Spirit who is in us. So we have that pledge. We have that guarantee that Jesus has not only saved us, that he's prepared a home for us, and that future glorification is coming. Now look at verse 6. So we're always confident, that word literally means full of courage, knowing that while we are at home in the body, this earthly tent, loved one, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, let me ask you a question. Look at it again. It says, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Are we absent from the Lord? No. No, listen. But do you see Jesus? I don't see Jesus. Have you seen? I don't see heaven. So how do we reconcile that? Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. What is seen is temporal. What is unseen is eternal. Amen? Yeah, see, we believe the word of God. See, when it says, for we walk by faith, the word walk there means lifestyle. The believer's lifestyle is a walk of faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. That's the only thing that pleases God. And so here we look at this and say, okay, you know what? I know that Jesus is with me, but I also know that Jesus is in me. Why? Faith. I have God's promise. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? Jesus told us in Matthew 28:20, he says, and lo, I am with you sometimes. No, I am with you always. How long? Even until the very end of the age. And he says, amen. And that word means it is certain, it is sure, it's infallible, it can never be broken. He's with us forever and ever and ever, even though I don't see him. Yeah, but Bill, what about when I die? Death doesn't have to be some scary thing, loved one. We have a home. We really have a home. What about death? The Bible tells us that God is our guide even into death. It says in the psalmist, King David, what did he say in Psalm 23:4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus will always be with us. Psalm 116:15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. Did you know that our death is precious to him? See, here we are. You know, you're wherever you are, maybe in your home, maybe in the hospital. I don't know. No, none of us know what, but I just trust the Lord. Amen? But then all of a sudden, it's over. And this crummy old body that, I don't care how many vitamins you take, I don't care how you can push, do all the push-ups, do the suction. You know, I don't care. You know, do the Botox. It's not going to work. Just let it be natural, man. All those wrinkles, and you earned them. You know, I'm not asking the women to quit wearing makeup or anything, but you know I'm teasing, ladies. I'm teasing. You're beautiful. But the moment when you leave this body, do you understand? I mean, it's not like it's over. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Oh, Lord, the first face you see is the Lord. Precious in his sight. He sees, he knows, he cares, he's there, is the death of his saints. Loved one, listen, God is so good. That's why Paul says we are confident. He says we're not fearful, we're full of courage. We're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, meaning this old earthly tent that we live in, and be present with the Lord. Now, why are we confident? How can we be confident like Paul? Well, you believe God. Listen to me. There are only... Don't let anyone teach you otherwise. There are only two places that a Christian can be. Two places. You are either going to be here on this planet or you're going to be in heaven. Do you understand? That's it. There's not any other place. You know, well, Bill, what about soul sleep? No, it's not in the Bible. I've heard of soul train, but that was in the 60s or something, you know? No, there's soul sleep. No, I'm going to sleep 1,000 years, 2,000 years. Well, no, you're not. No, you're not going to. Purgatory. No, you can't pay your way out. Jesus has already paid it. You understand? You're not going to be there. No, that's not going to happen at all. And, you know, listen to me. When you die, when a Christian dies, he's not in the grave. Do you understand that? But, Bill, he's not in the casket. But, Bill, they did all the painting and there they go. No. Do you understand me? They're not there. They're not there. That's a tent. The real Bill. Listen, when that happens to me, don't you say, well, there's Bill. they did a good job on him. Don't you, if you, I'll come right, but what? No. Listen, that is a tent. It's going to be dissolved. I don't want that tent. I don't even like that tent. Do you understand? It's going to return, like the Bible says, from the dust from which it was made. But my spirit, I'm going to be with the Lord. So I'm not there. I'm not in the grave. I'm not in that casket. Oh, yeah, I've got a place over at Greenwood. I've got to have my names there. You can visit, but I'm not there.
Once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will conclude today's message on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we look forward to seeing you once again. Amen. Thank you, as always, for listening to the broadcast. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.